Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are back in the Key Studios with you here. Start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour, which, by the way, is our highest rated hour of the show. It's been the last couple of months, and we get a good steady increase in audience. So we thank you so much for listening out there. Chuck, we're here in the Kia Studios. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Jump on board. Interact with us. Follow the station or check out the station online at 929thegame.com. We stream live there. 929thegame.com. Catch all the replays, interviews, all the good stuff there. You know this song, Jarvis? Yeah, it's a good tune. It's a good tune right here. Download your radio.com app. That way you can catch us on the go. Put that on your phone, your tablet, your turntable, your boombox, whatever you got for a device out there. Walkman, CD player, you know, your, I don't know what, your Apple Watch, whatever, anything like that. Just get it on one of your devices out there. Social media wise, everything is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. The best way to keep up with our show is to follow us on our personal Twitter. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Let's get to some college football roundup.
It's time for the College Football Roundup, a complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, Nick Saban at it again. And look, right now it's a battle between Saban and Dabo as to who wants to be the number one mouthpiece in college football. Just when Dabo kind of takes the lead, Nick has to go off and say something to try to get that reel back in, to get the camera focused on him. So Alabama blew out New Mexico State, whatever it was, 62-10 or whatever it was. And because it was 8,000 degrees in Brian Dennehy Stadium or whatever that's called over there, Brian Dennehy Stadium, whatever it is. Brian Dennehy was the guy that was in Rambo and all that stuff. Because it was 1,000 degrees, people left early in a 62-10 game. Nick Saban asked about it. Of course, he, again, nothing is whimsical or off the cuff with Nick. He had this in his mind, what he wanted to say. He's done this before. Here's what he said about the fans and them leaving.
I would love for the students to stay there for the whole game. And I know we've tried to enhance, you know, the with some of the things that we're doing to try to get them to do that. But that's a choice and decision they got to make. But all these things affect the program, right? Because, you know, people come and we have recruits here and they want to see a full house and all that. So everybody wants to be a part of the team. Everybody wants to be number one. But everybody don't want to do what the beast does. Everybody wants to be the beast, but they don't want to do what the beast do. So everybody's got to make a sacrifice, you know? I mean, you want to be the lion? Everybody got to do something, right? Everybody wants to be number one. If I ask that whole student section, all right, do you want to be number one? Nobody would put their hand up and say, I want to be number four. They would all say, we want to be number one. But are they willing to do everything to be number one? That's another question. You can ask them that. I don't know the answer.
Okay. I understand what Nick is saying, and he's trying to rally the troops and stuff and all that. Look, they won't have a problem when they play LSU of keeping everybody in their seats and stuff like that. But this goes back to what we've talked about on the college football segment a bunch of times and on the show in general. Okay? There's only so much 62-10 of New Mexico State you can take. There just is as a fan. When it's hot, there's other games on TV. I mean, like that or not like that. Now, they play at noon, by the way. Okay, this coming Saturday, which means it's an 11 o'clock game. And I forget who they've got. They've got Scrub Central. I got to look up their Alabama schedule on there. They've got nobody, again, that they're going to play this week because they're not into the conference part of the season. Let's see if I can find out who Alabama's got. They got South Carolina, okay, which is, again, they're going to drill. Won't be 62-10. They're going to drill South Carolina. They're going to go on the road. It's not in Alabama, but but those noon games here are 11 o'clock there. There's only so much of that you can take. And when you play bad opponents and bad teams and stuff, that's what you get for it. By the way, how is that game, the 3:30 game? South Carolina and Alabama, ugh, yuck. They're going to just drill the daylights out of South Carolina. It's got Helinski, who played well, but they played nobody State and all that. Anyway, that's just sidebar on there. But I understand what Nick is saying, but at the same time, you know, I think Nick's picking the wrong crowd to go after or whatever like that. He's trying to make a bigger point about, hey, it's easy to be number one, okay, but nobody wants to put the work and effort. It's easy to say you want to be number one, but who's going to put the work and effort into all of it? Some things that I learned, and let's first start with, obviously the locals had a really good day. By the way, Kennesaw State just missed out on beating Kent State, but you know, obviously Georgia, they played nobody you, and we're gonna roll and win that game. Georgia Tech. Great win. We talked about on this, Tech needed to win that game. South Florida's bad. Blake Barnett is as raggedy as it comes at quarterback. He was like 12 for 20, Jarvis. He was 12 for 20 for 79 yards. How in college football do you throw it 20 times for only 79 yards? That's not even 4 yards an attempt. That's as raggedy as you could be. He's raggedy, and they put another quarterback in there because he's so raggedy. He's a Randy McMichaelism. We'll talk about that on our college football show coming up this Saturday as well. Good win for Tech. Get the Jeff Collins air off. The good start, get a win. I mean, that's what you do. Look, they're going to beat Citadel. Okay, that won't be a contest, but a good win by Georgia Tech. That's a win that, listen, if you're thinking about trying to get to a bowl game, you had to have that game for sure. You got to be 2-1 after three if you're going to be thinking about a bowl game, you know. Now, all of a sudden, North Carolina looks like they got a little something going on. They're 2-0, okay? I don't think Duke's very good. You know, I think Virginia's pretty good. I think Virginia's going to be the team to beat in the Coastal Division. So, you know, wins could be few and far between. Ain't going to win at the end of the year. God bless Tech and where they're at. Ain't beating that group of guys at the end of the year. Not going to beat that group of guys that plays in Athens. That's you know, which is fine. You're not expecting that out of them this year. But a really good start for Georgia Tech. It was a good win. It's what they needed. Georgia State. Now, we'll talk to Dave Cohen for our weekly conversation on Friday. They were down 20-3. I was listening to that game on the radio, Jarvis, driving around, listening to Dave and Harper and our guy Sam Crenshaw on sidelines with all that. They were down 20-3. I told you guys about Furman. I told you guys and I told you they run the daylights. Devin Wynn just running up and down. I told you that they can do that. I think they got a little bit of bravado on campus, you know, from beating Tennessee, and took Furman a little bit lightly. Furman's a good team. Now, what you really like about State is that the wherewithal and the ability to just stop what's going on, get back on track. You know, that game was 20-3. They made it 20-17 going into halftime. They scored two big touchdowns on two big drives. Ellington was tremendous in that game. He had 5 touchdowns in that game. Set a school record for most passing yards in a game as well. You know, he's a big-time player for them. They're going to lean on him real heavily. But kudos to Georgia State for finding a way to win that game. That's a game that I think in years past, they very much could have dropped that thing and not gotten out of there with a victory for all of it. So kudos them. Georgia, they did what they had to do. Let's hear from Kirby Smart real quick. As one piece of bad news was the Isaiah Wilson injury that happened during the week. Here's Kirby Smart talking about that.
No timetable, not sure when. He's out of the boot. He's able to put some pressure on it. He's going to be doing some underwater running and working on some things. He may be available this week. I have no idea. So just going to be wait and see.
Well, he's literally like an all-conference lineman, if you're not familiar with who Isaiah Wilson is. I mean, he's a terrific player. You know, Andrew Thomas is the top 5 pick, but Isaiah Wilson's a really good player as well. One guy who balled out, made a couple of huge catches, George Pickens. Here's the quarterback for Georgia, Jake Fromm, as he talks about what George Pickens did.
Explosiveness. You know, he's a big-time guy. You know, he's a really good player, really good kid, and he needs to clean up some of the little things, you know, some of the little details, and we're talking to him about that, and it's awesome, but I think he has a tremendous potential, and I hope he can go out and play better next week.
Look, because Jake Fromm's, you know, the senior, you know, not a senior as far as, but he's senior to the Pickens. Here's what we've been saying. Georgia's problem is not talent at the wide receiver position. They got talent at wide receiver. They don't have experience. That's where the difference is going to be. That's what last week, this week is all about. Get experience with these wide receivers. So that come Notre Dame time, you put your foot on their neck and you crush them as well. I think they're going to beat the daylights out of Notre Dame. I think they're going to beat the daylights out of Notre Dame when it's all said and done. All right, kind of rapid fire, a bunch of my thoughts about college football. One is, if Ed Orgeron stays out of the way, LSU is going to be dangerous. Let Joe Burrow and run that offense and let them do. They've got terrific wide receivers. They can run the football when they need to, and they've got a stout defense. And let me tell you, Ellinger and that group in Texas is really good. Like, that won a bunch of ham and eggers that LSU's defense ran up against, okay? That's a really good team that's going to win a lot of games this year. Texas-Oklahoma going to be in the Red River Shootout, a really fun game to watch, okay? The only thing I say about LSU is I got to believe it. I got to see it to believe it when it comes to Alabama, because they've had really good teams to line up against Alabama and gotten punched right in the face and not able to do anything. LSU's offense is for real this year. If they can run that offense, they've got their shot. But again, I have to see it to believe it when it comes to what are they going to do against Alabama. They can beat pretty much everybody else. Can they beat Alabama? I don't know. Because they, for whatever reason, get in that game the last few years, and it just doesn't go well for them. Clemson, you know, they were never in danger of losing that game. It never felt like A&M was going to win that game. Clemson hasn't played its best football yet, though. Clemson has not played its best football yet. And that, I guess you could say that that's a scary thing, is the fact that Clemson hasn't played its best football yet. But they, look, they've got Syracuse. We're going to pistol whip Syracuse. I don't know what's going on with Syracuse. DeVito's not quite figured out a quarterback. They got rolled by Maryland. I think this is get-back time for Clemson for losing up there a couple of years ago. I think it's a bad spot for Syracuse to be in, is lining up against them. Oklahoma, again, Hurts just running wild. Not much there. I thought Auburn was pretty lackluster, I mean, in their game against Tulane. I got the Cincinnati game totally wrong. That was my upset special with Cincinnati over Ohio State. I got that totally wrong. Justin Fields went off, and they were magnificent. I tried to tell you all about Army. And I've been trying to tell you for months about how good Army is. They should have beaten Michigan, by the way. There were some teams that really blew some games. Army blew it against Michigan. They should have beat Michigan in that game. And let me tell you, right now, and I know they beat Stanford. They beat Stanford with their backup quarterback, okay? Lynn Swann quit as the AD, which I don't know what took so long. He should have been gone. But let me tell you, some of these programs like Southern Cal, Nebraska, Florida State, Miami, those programs are as raggedy as it gets right now. I mean, they are raggedy. Those programs, Nebraska's no good. Florida State, I know one. Guy missed an extra point. They were gifted a win in that game. They are as raggedy as you could be. Ugh. Some of those high-level, high-name programs are really bad right now. All right, when we come back, recapping my thoughts about what I saw on Sunday from the Atlanta Falcons, and not a whole lot of good to take away from all of it. We'll get to that next. Chuck Green, the Keys Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. But the thought of you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. It's the Brownlicker Hour, moves right along. Brownlicker Music Hour, I should say. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's our Solomon Bros Diamond text line. You can interact with the show either way or on Twitter. at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Two quick thoughts. I want to wrap up on college football before I get to my Falcons thoughts. Somebody asked me about Georgia Southern. You know, they got to win. Maine's a pretty good team. They bring their quarterback back. They were a playoff team, I think, last year in FCS. So, close, probably closer than what they wanted it to be. But, you know, they did what they had to do. Certainly, look, I don't know what you learned from LSU on the fact that that loss against LSU, maybe not so bad now, because I think LSU is a really good team and could be very dangerous. There's not going to be many L's on LSU's schedule. They may dumb their way to an L or two, but that's what it's going to take. And the other school I forgot to mention, too, Tennessee. They are as raggedy can get. Like, I don't know what's going on up in Tennessee. That program is dreadful. I tell you, between Miami, Tennessee, Florida State, Nebraska, there are some of the heavyweight names of college football that are dreadful. Raggedy. R-A-G-D-A-D-E-E. No, raggedy. G-A. Let me spell it again. R-A-G-G-A-D-E-E. Raggedy. Like, they are just, ugh. Tennessee, I'm watching that Tennessee game thinking, how this program's awful. Like, where's all the players, man? How about all the running backs and wide receivers that used to just roll into the NFL every single year? Now, speaking of the NFL, as my first kind of chance to take a look back at the Falcons game, several things that bothered me. That, you know, watching that first few minutes of the game in all the different phases, you know, we played the sound from Dan Quinn earlier about he's ticked off and all that kind of stuff. You know, you had all summer long to get ready for that game and be ready to play that team and just come out and just put up a pitiful start to the game and basically took yourself out of the game from the very start. No other way to spin it. You took yourself out of that game right from the very start with your poor play and getting down 14-0. And you can say what you want, man. 14-0 in the NFL is 14-0 in the NFL, man. You start getting down by two touchdowns right away like that. You make your life really difficult and really tough to come back from. Now, there's plenty of blame to go around. So I'm going to talk about a few of these things. It ain't like they ran anything sophisticated. They won an NFL game where their quarterback threw 10 passes. 10 passes. Completed 8 passes. And they won an NFL game. Wasn't like they did anything spectacular or unique or all this kind of stuff. Now, you had two defensive ends who couldn't set the edge to save their life, and that made it pretty easy. So I guess in some way it wasn't all that difficult. But it wasn't like they did anything crazy. They ran the football right around the edge on the Atlanta Falcons, and they had no answer for it whatsoever. What bothered me is after the game hearing about, yeah, they threw some things at us that we weren't prepared for. Well, what the hell are you guys doing all summer? And why are we throwing out things to them that they don't understand and see? I don't get this. Why, whether it's Dirk Cutter, you know, talking his stuff, and we're not dictating the offenses or to the defense, and they're running things we didn't see, but I don't hear that. I don't get that. I don't understand all that. Another guy, Julio. Now, look, I'm all for and fine with the fact of Julio not playing in the preseason, not practicing in the preseason. I got no problem with that whatsoever. That's going to be the trend and the norm in the NFL. Unfortunately, what it's going to lead to, though, is you're going to see, and I heard Chris Landry talk about this, there are going to be more injuries in the NFL in the first few weeks because guys are not hitting full speed, full contact, not practicing. These guys are getting hit and, you know, knocked around for the first times. So I think, unfortunately, you're going to see more injuries in these first few weeks of the NFL as years go on because as they're not going to play in the preseason, this is going to be the side effect to all of this stuff. Okay? Now, I don't have a problem with Julio not playing. I don't have a problem with Julio not practicing, okay? But when it's Sunday, September 8th in Minnesota, week one, game one, you got to be better than 6-for-31. You have to be better than 6-for-31. And I know you're going to say, well, Matt's got to throw him the ball or this, that. Come on, man. You got to be better than 6-for-31. Yeah, I know he scored the junk touchdown late and all that, that kind of stuff. That's not acceptable. I got no problem with not practicing, not playing, all that stuff. But when it's game time, you can go in the field and dominate. You're better than everybody that they got out there. And what frustrates me is, and you know, arguing back and forth a little bit earlier on the text line, Minnesota doesn't out-personnel. It's not like they're out-personnelling us. It's not like we're devoid of personnel. Start with the most important position, a quarterback. You take our guy over their guy every day of the week. Every day of the week. You want to hitch your wagons to Kirk Cousins? You don't. Let me answer that for you. So it's not a matter of we can't personnel with them. You know, this isn't Maine versus Alabama. You know, we personnel with them just fine. But again, this goes back to where I get frustrated with the head coach. It's all good Saturday or Monday through Saturday. But Sunday comes along and we don't adjust and we don't change and we haven't seen this. And I hear the same things over and over out of this coaching staff. No matter what assistant coaches they trot out there, it gets to be the same message all the time. It literally seems like no matter what it is, it's like, well, you know, they did some things. You hear it over and over and over again. And it gets maddening after a while. I mean, either we got to fix these things or something's got to change. More like someone's got to change. And again, I'm not coming on here saying fire Dan Quinn or do this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, this team doesn't make the playoffs. And there aren't injuries and all that kind of stuff to fall back onto. Tell me why you're bringing Dan Quinn back next year. Well, they got us to the Super Bowl. Yeah, but we didn't win the damn thing. You know, we won the damn thing. You'd have gotten a few years of cash out of it. We didn't win it. Got to win it now. I don't mind losing in Minnesota. I don't. It's one game. It's on the road against a good quality opponent. I don't have a problem losing. I got a problem with the way that this team lost and the way it performed. I think that's what everybody is most upset about. You don't want to lose games if you don't have to, but I didn't pick the Falcons to go 16-0. And the Falcons are not some feel-good story. You know, they're loaded. Quarterback's in their prime, wide receiver in his prime, running back in his prime, center's at the end of his career. You got all these guys that are in their prime now. Just got to make hay with all of it. And I didn't understand going for two twice. Like, what's wrong with the touchdown and kick the extra point? You needed four touchdowns. It wasn't like you had a weird – you needed four touchdowns. Four. Wouldn't matter if you'd have scored 2 points. You wouldn't have gotten to 28 with three touchdowns and three 2-point conversions. That wasn't going to get you. And then you still kick a field goal. You're still not at 28. You're not 28-0 in that game. I don't care what the card says. I don't care what the coach says. You know, go and do what you're supposed to do. Now, it ain't going to get easier on Sunday here at Mercedes-Benz with maybe a better defense coming in than one you just saw. And the Falcons moved the ball, but you can't shoot yourself in the foot. Matt threw a terrible interception to start that game. Devontae's fumble was terrible when you're driving. You're not going to beat bad teams doing that kind of stuff, let alone go up to Minnesota and win or try to beat the Eagles on your home field on Sunday. Can't do that against good teams. That's what's so disappointing is you feel like they look like they weren't a team ready for prime time on Sunday afternoon. You know, I expect that out of, you know, who's the chump teams in the NFL, Jarvis? Help me. I'm trying to. Well, yeah, the Browns, yeah. Well, they're not supposed to be out of there. You know, I expect the Jets, the Bengals, the Dolphins, I expect those teams to stink it up. The Giants, okay, Arizona. You know, I expect those teams to not be ready and go stink it up. I don't expect the team that's supposed to be getting to the Super Bowl to stink it up. And let me tell you, if your expectation isn't Super Bowl or bust, what are you a Falcon fan for? Like, if we can't go make a run at it now, what are you waiting for? When Kirk Benkert takes over the team or what? You understand, like, this is the window now to go win this thing. Not last year, not next year. Now. Now is the time. You got to get it done now. You can't keep just waiting around to see, well, you know, maybe if we draft another guy here, we pick this guy up here. No, now's your time to win with your roster. And the block punt, obviously. You know, again, it's like, it's one thing for Matt to get sacked, you know, in the opening drive. It's another where nobody picked up Anthony Barr. Not some ham and egger that they just found on the streets. You got Anthony Barr who ran free and didn't even get blocked. You got your block, you got your punt blocked. You got your number two corner that you're trusting who couldn't make a play and got beat at start for a big play. You can't do those things and win football games. My concern is this. Do I believe that they're going to, in 1 week, fix all their ills? Probably not. Can they fix enough things to make sure that they win on Sunday? I sure hope. Because they come out like that Sunday against the Eagles, they'll get run off their field again too. And let me tell you, they get blown out 2 weeks in a row, okay? Somebody's going to have to really start answering some questions up there in Flowery Branch. And I don't mean D-Led throwing his stuff out there. I mean, I'm going up there if I have to and asking some questions that people don't want to answer. All right, we get back. Braves lost tonight. Is it better for them to get that number one seed or number two seed when you start to look ahead at potential playoff matchups? Break all that down next. Chuck McKee Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
When I feel cold, you warm me. And when I feel I can't go on, you come and hold me. It's you and me forever.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Key Studios, John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you until 11 o'clock tonight. Hot Take Tommy is coming up right after. Hey, don't forget about our Falcons Watch Party. Go to the Beverly Atlanta Sports Bar and Restaurant. It's off Glenwood Avenue in Grant Park. It's coming up this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. Going to have all kinds of prizes on site. Cheerleaders, including, going to be out there. Falcons alum, our guy, Chuck Smith, going to be part of all of it. So check it out, 7 o'clock at the Beverly Sports Bar and Grill off Glenwood Avenue. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Want to jump on and interact with us? That's the way to go. Also through our Twitter handle. Follow me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So Braves taking on the chin tonight. It was kind of bombs away at the ballpark up in Philadelphia, which is kind of what it is. Camargo, the only home run for the Braves, but Philadelphia, Bryce Harper homered earlier in that game. Dickerson had a couple of home runs himself. There was an inside the park home run as well. I think Kingery had the inside the park home run. I think he had the inside the parker. Real Muto homered in that game as well. Not a good outing for Max Fried. It goes to 16-5. Five innings, seven hits, four homers, five earned runs for him. And then Minter also gave up a home run in that game tonight as well. So, look, Philly's going to have some of those nights where they just go bombs away on you, and that's what happened out of all of it. So, I joked at the very, very beginning of the show about, you know, can we finally say we're out of this division race? Because I know y'all got panicked about Washington and this, that, and the other, and all those kinds of things. Now, to me, the question is, do the Braves go for it to be the number one or the number two seed overall in the National League? There are pluses and minuses to both of those things. I think for me, the number one reason that I want the Braves to get the number one overall seed is to have to make the Dodgers come here and play in SunTrust Park. And look, for all the greatness of the Dodgers, you know, they're only 38-32. And I say only 38-32, but the Braves are 43-28 on the road. So the Dodgers are only 38-32 on the road. They're 56-20 at home, if you don't know. 56-20 at home. You know, that's a big hill to climb. And look, the reality is whether it's playing the Cubs or the Cardinals, when you look at the Dodgers this year in what they did against those teams, overall they were only 500 against those two teams combined. They were 4-3 against the Cubs, and they were 3-4 against the Cardinals. So, you know, when you look at what they've done, I'm not telling you that the Cardinals or the Cubs are going to beat the Dodgers, but certainly one of the things is that those teams have been pretty competitive. You know, if nothing else, let those teams beat them up and kind of get after them and maybe make their life miserable, maybe drag out a series longer than what it really should go. By the way, did you see this news, Jarvis, on Twitter? Christian Yelich has left the game with a fractured right kneecap, so he's out for the remainder of the season. Does that help Freddie or Ronald in the MVP at this point, or does it not matter? Is the MVP kind of salted away at this point? I don't know. But terrible news for Christian Yelich, who just was having another monster-type season. Now, I know some people are going to say what the wild card is, you know, well, you know, what if the Nationals win and we got to face them? Okay, so? Okay. What have the Nationals done to tell you that you should fear them? On the season, the Braves are 9-7 against Washington. And I've been saying before, if you go back, the Braves were 0-5 to start the year against the Phillies and the Nats. Remember, the Braves lost three games in a row up in Philadelphia to start that season. Okay. Since then, they were 7-3 before tonight. They were 7-3 since then. Washington, remember, came in here and beat the Braves twice to start the year early in the season. Okay. Since then, the Braves are 9-5 against the Nationals. By the way, Braves are 5-2 against the Cubs, and they are 4-2 against the Cardinals. So 9-4 against those teams. So I don't fear any of those teams, including the Nationals. You can tell me about the five-game series. You know, I'm hoping that this isn't 2003 all over again, where the Braves have this monster offense and, you know, one of the best offensive teams in the history of their franchise. And then, you know, I got to hear Leo say, you know, 2003 after the Cubs beat him in a five-game set, well, anything can happen in a five-game set when Pryor and Wood just went nuts and completely shut down the Braves. And remember, too, that with the way the wild card works now is they're going to have to win that wild card game. Well, that means Strasburg or Scherzer is pitching, you know, that game. I don't think they're going to take Corbin and just hopefully roll the dice. You know, I think they're going to go with one of their big guns, which means that person won't be ready for probably game one or game two. So I think that when you look at the Dodgers' record on the road and the Braves' record at home, they could much rather have more games here with all that, even if that means having to take on Washington or Chicago, you know, in the early part of the playoffs. By the way, the Cardinals have a four-game lead. Who, by the way, they're tremendous at home, too. They're 46-26, so they're 20 games above 500. They actually have the Braves are, what is that? They're 19 games above 500. The Cardinals are 20 games above 500. The Cubs, by the way, are 23 games above 500. Neither one of those teams, the Cardinals or Cubs, do very well on the road. So I'd much rather, you know, if it's one of those teams, let's say if theoretically it's the Cubs and the Nationals, you know, you want those teams coming to your place for all of it. You want those teams to have to come and play you. And that includes the Dodgers as well. Now, obviously, losing the night doesn't really help overall as far as trying to get that. Braves at 90-56 now on the year. Dodgers at 94-52. So the Braves four games back of the Dodgers in the win column. Four games back overall for that best record out there. And it wouldn't surprise me because the Dodgers are up 18.5 games. I mean, they may start to rest some guys. They may start to rest some guys. And I'm not saying that the Braves shouldn't do some load management. I mean, there should be some of that as the Braves move along here in these last couple of weeks of the season or what have you. You know, make sure Soroka and Fried and some of these guys are ready to go. You know, people are talking about how hot Max Fried has been and you know, after Soroka's not-so-great performance and Max Fried follows, you know, all of that up. You know, again, maybe you just kind of give those guys a chance to rest a little bit and maybe skip a start here or there. Maybe you just let them skip a start and and give them that rest that they need. Because I want those guys have to be fresh and raring to go when playoff time comes. Like, they've got to be ready to rock and roll, no questions asked. Mike Soroka, Max Fried, those guys have got to be ready to get it done in the playoffs for this team. And by the way, it's okay to start thinking bigger than, well, I hope we can win the division. I hope we hang on. Let's win the division first. Guys, the division's basically all but over. I got to look at the scores. I didn't see if the Nationals were playing tonight. Let's see, who do they got to buy? But for all intents and purposes, this division, you know, is all but over. By the way, Cubs are up on the Padres. Cardinals are losing to the Rockies. That game is late. Cubs is early. So Cubs trying to pick up a game. I think the Cubs are a dangerous team if they get in the playoffs, by the way. I think they're one of the teams to watch. Let's see here. I was trying to find the Nationals. Twins blanked them 5-0 tonight. So the Nationals, again, not going to be able to gain any ground on the Braves, as they're just running out of games. Berrios threw 7 innings of 2-hit, no-run ball tonight. Anibal Sanchez, 7 runs, 7 innings, 2 runs. So not like he was terrible tonight, but their bullpen shockingly let them down, as you know, rainy. And by the way, that's another thing too. So much of these games nowadays is the fact that, you know, if you can just get to a team's bullpen, you got a real shot. And certainly everybody wants to get a shot at the bullpen of the Nationals right now. Everybody wants a piece of that pie right now because that bullpen is as bad as it gets. And if there's going to be an area that's going to cost them, it's going to be their bullpen. It's definitely going to be their bullpen that's going to end up being their Achilles heel. So I say go to beat the Dodgers. I say go get that number one seed overall. I say go get that number one seed and make the Dodgers have to come to your place. And by the way, if the Braves are the number one seed and all this kind of stuff, look, we got to start thinking about World Series talk. I start thinking about World Series, having home field advantage all the way through and this club. And I hope the realization is coming in that the Braves are a really good club right now. We're a really good club. I mean, the reality is that they're the one or two best team in the National League. It's one or the other. Okay? Dodgers have their faults. Braves have their faults. Line up and see what happens. And let's play more games at SunTrust Park than on the road. And make them have to come across here, this part of the country, instead of the Braves have to go out there to start. All right. Love TKO coming up next. We'll wrap things up. Get ready for Hot Take Tommy. It's all next on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
My life in the sunshine.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.